Hi, I'm Nikki from Tyrion's Landing, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopX Cast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
And welcome, everyone. We are live here. This is PopX Cast, episode number 25, coming to you right here on this beautiful day. It is July 24, 2016, and joining me here, I have Team PopX, who is comprised of none other than Miss Lindsay Badger, Austin Burke, and Mike Ippolito up in the window up in the above there. He's manning the window tonight. How's everybody doing? What's going on?
Doing great.
You're doing great.
Doing good. Fantastic.
Good times, right? Well, so guys, this is officially the PopX Cast, and we want to thank everybody for joining us right now. And if you're listening to us live, I want to direct your attention over to PopX.live or Geeks.live. We do have a chat room set up there where you can join us in real time, and you can even ask questions and give us some commentary along the way while we're actually doing the broadcast live over on YouTube, okay? So right. Be sure to check us out. And yeah, it's going to be really cool. And so also, I am Joe Burke, which is Central Florida's seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. And right over here is my other comic book friend. What's up, Austin?
Hey, what is up, Joe? I am Austin Burke, your Appalachian geek at heart. If you guys missed last four where we discussed the Ghostbusters movie and we reviewed it, be sure to head over to Google Play or iTunes, click that subscribe button to catch up, and while you're there, leave us a glowing and wonderful 5-star rating and review. We certainly appreciate that.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Well, and Austin, welcome back from vacay, man. Yes. It's good to see you.
What is up? Listen, I had a great vacation. While I was there, I was able to give my thoughts. I was a happy camper last week.
Well, anytime you're on vacation, you're a happy camper. I'll just say that right off the bat.
That's very true.
I was a happy beacher. Joe.
You were a happy beacher? Did you go see Myrtle?
Happy beach.
Did you go see Myrtle over on the West Coast there?
I saw Myrtle.
East Coast, actually.
All the beaches and the sharks and the people in the bikinis. It was great.
All the people in the bikinis. Bikini. All right, guys. Okay. You know what? This is going to be a jam-packed episode, and this, you're probably going to get some OT today, some overtime from Austin, Lindsay, and myself, and Mike. Mm-hmm. I just want to say this. San Diego Comic-Con has been amazing this week. If you've missed the updates, if you missed the headlines, you know what? Stay tuned, because we're going to give it all to you right here on PopX Cast. Let's roll that beautiful news intro.
Extra, extra, read all about it. This is PopX News, coming to you live right here on PopXCast.com.
All right, so Disney California Adventure to replace Twilight Zone Tower of Terror with the Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout. So Disney California, the Tower of Terror, is officially going to get an upgrade. And so I don't know how I feel about that. I've got some mixed feelings about that. They haven't said anything about Florida. I hope they leave Florida alone.
I hope they leave it alone.
Yeah. I hope they do too.
I do too.
Yeah. What's up, Austin?
Speaking of Guardians of the Galaxy, Kurt Russell has been confirmed as Living Planet, a.k.a. Peter Quill's father in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. How are they going to do this? This is great, but this is interesting.
So Kurt Russell has two roles as Ego the Living Planet and Peter Quill?
Huh?
What?
I know it. I I know in the comic books, he can take, like, the form of any, like, being, you know? So I have a feeling he's going to go from one form to another. But still, this is interesting to go with Ego the Living Planet, because this is a massive character.
Yeah, and it's just really interesting to see a dueling role like that. Sometimes, you know, you don't see that so much in comic book movies, but also, too, right out of the gate, and, you know, I want to apologize to our viewers in advance if we seem like we're rushing through this. San Diego Comic-Con, like I said, has been, we have a plethora of news. We have two pages of news for you this week. But Surtur is confirmed for, Surtur is confirmed for Thor Ragnarok. So he is one of the big bads, and he will be making his way, and he is going to be ominous. He's definitely, he's up there in the realms of the Greek demons and Greek gods and stuff like that. So it's going to be really cool to see him as a big bad. And also, we did see some stuff coming out of San Diego Comic-Con, which we'll tell you later, but Hulk is going to be in Planet Hulk. It's going to be so cool. Oh my God, seriously. Planet Hulk and Thor Ragnarok in the same movie? What? Anyway, Austin, what else?
We also got a teaser trailer for Spider-Man Homecoming, only shown to the people in Hall H. Still, that's pretty exciting that they're, you know, they're barely into shooting and we already have footage shown to the public. So I'm really excited to see this at some point.
Yeah. Yay! That's going to be awesome. And also Thor Ragnarok, this is getting right back to Thor again. A teaser trailer also was shown for Thor Ragnarok, in which it did show our beloved Green Giant, Mr. Bruce Banner, was hulking out with green eyes. And there was even props sent directly from Australia that showed some of the actual Planet Hulk armory that's going to be in the movie as well. So it's going to be really epic. People have been wanting this for a while, and so they're kind of merging both the worlds of Planet Hulk and Thor Ragnarok into the both of the same, and I'm kind of glad that they're doing that kind of the way they did with Batman versus Superman, but, you know, not so much heavy on combining so many graphic novels in one time. But
absolutely. We've also got some casting news. Back to Spider-Man again. Tony Revolori, who was in the movie Dope, I believe, is going to play Flash Thompson in Spider-Man Homecoming. Now, this is a little bit different from his comic book counterpart, but I'm personally excited because I think this guy's a really talented actor.
Absolutely, and there's so many like names that are now starting to evolve out of Spider-Man Homecoming, and it's really cool. Michael Keaton is going to be in there as well, and we'll talk about that soon. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Also, this one's kind of a crazy one. Sylvester Stallone has been officially confirmed for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
I don't know what his role is, but I'm just saying. Anyway.
Oh my goodness. speaking of casting, we got the cast of Guardians of the Galaxy, Doctor Strange, Black Panther, and Spider-Man all on stage at once. They took a big, wonderful picture. Just seeing all of these guys, hey, this is your Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Well,
most of them at least. That's pretty exciting to see.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and you know, it's really awesome to see the culmination of how Marvel Studios has combined all these amazing, talented actors into this cinematic universe that we now know. And these are the beloved actors that play these amazing superheroes or villains on stage. It's really cool to see them all in one spot at one time. Also, I do want to confirm in the way of Marvel Comics that we did get officially a cast for Captain Marvel, and that will be Brie Larson. We had hinted about this a couple of months ago that she was in talks, but now Marvel officially did drop the ball and they said, okay, Brie Larson is officially going to be Captain Marvel. And that's going to be boom sauce because we may even see her as soon as Infinity War Part 1. So,
that's so epic. That is so epic. We also got a character that we never seen on screen before, as in Vulture. He was shown very briefly in the Spider-Man teaser trailer. And I'm assuming he's played by Michael Keaton. That's exciting casting.
That's going to be really, really good. And Vulture, I mean, you look at him, he's more robotic, he's more mechanical. And I remember him from the comic books as the old fart with wings. And it just really, you know what I'm saying? Because he was like the Spider-Man villain that nobody really wanted to mess with. He's just like an old, grumpy old man that just could fly around. And now that I'm hopefully they've done him some justice. And I'm kind of looking forward to that personally. But also in the terms of DC TV universe, we have some news coming in that Katie Cassidy will be returning. We all know her as the Black Canary. She will be across all shows in one form or another. We have not seen the last of Katie Cassidy. So when the fans think that she is gone, she is not. Behold the multiverse.
Great. I love her. She's great.
Absolutely.
That's epic. That's DC for you. DC, back to Marvel. We have a Doctor Strange trailer. The official second trailer for the movie. What did you guys think of it? I thought it was amazing.
You know what? There's been so much stuff coming out of San Diego Comic-Con. That is one of the things I have not yet fully been able to catch up on. And shame on me, I know. But it was between trying to go see Star Trek this week and then everything else that come out. Yeah. I mean, crap, dude. We've got so many trailers that drop.
Too much to take.
I'm just sitting here like, can't breathe. Nerd, gonna blow.
So much
can't
stuff.
Take it. Anyway. And you know, but I'm really excited to see the Doctor Strange. And hey, if you've seen the Doctor Strange trailer, let us know over on PopX.live or Geeks.live. Let us know if you've seen it and let us know what your thoughts are. Or you can call our hotline at 850-417-POPX and let us know, okay? Also, we have Marvel releases the cast of Black Panther. Now, this is the first time we've actually seen the cast of Black Panther all together at the first time. And strangely enough, we don't have the names, but the cast of Black Panther. We just have the Marvel releases.
I know Michael B. Jordan's the villain.
When did they release the cast from?
I don't know. Villain.
You know, were they captured in a underground bunker?
Did Orkin have to come in and like spray some Raid around or something? What are they cast from? Are they cast from here to there, or east to west, or I mean, what's going on there? I don't know. Mike, maybe our screen guy Mike can elaborate on that one a little bit more. I don't know. But anyway.
Moving on.
J.J. Abrams says Chekhov won't be recast for Star Trek 4. What do you guys think about this movie?
Okay, let's pause for this one because I do have some commentary on this one. I think that is a really wise move. Because I think going forward, I don't know if there will be a need for a Chekhov. You know, his character was kind of a B character in the movie, Star Trek Beyond. He wasn't more of a lead character. And I don't really know if they'll probably replace him maybe with another character of a different name or something like that. So who knows what will happen. But I think it's a really great way to honor him. It's almost like when an NBA player retires, they hang up his jersey and nobody can wear that number. I think it's kind of the same thing what Abrams is doing here. He's like, okay, you know, Anton was Chekhov, and we're not going to be that company that, you know, casts another actor to play that iconic role. And I really do, I think it's a good move personally. But getting back,
hopefully,
on,
how they how go they ahead. Did for sorry, you're good.
No, you go.
I was just going to say, hopefully, how they did for Nimoy in this Star Trek Beyond, I hope they have, you know, a similar kind of memorial or something along those lines for Anton in the next movie, because he deserves every bit of that.
And he was such a young actor. He had so much ahead of him too, and it was really a beautiful tribute, I think, what they did for him in the movie, and even Leonard Nimoy as well. Definitely a very sad loss for not only Star Trek fans, but the world. He was a great actor. But moving along, I know we have to weigh the good with the bad, but Warner Brothers Animation did announce the animated films Justice League Dark, Teen Titans, The Judas Contract, and Batman and Harley Quinn movies for 2017. So DC is definitely going to be rolling out some amazing animated films. I think with the upcoming Batman film that's going to be dropping here at the end of the year, I think the animated one with actually Mark Hamill doing all the voice acting. What is it? Batman? I can't remember the name of it.
Killing Joke.
Yes, The Killing Joke. Thank you, Austin Burke. That's why we have a co-host.
That's
why we keep him around.
But I think you know, I think the Killing Joke is actually gave some momentum in the DC animated universe. So that's going to be really awesome seeing that going forward.
We also have something else that has been confirmed for television. Season 4 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will have Ghost Rider, or in Nicolas Cage, Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider. My name is Ghost Rider.
So this is going to be cool, because this version of Ghost Rider is not the version that Nicolas Cage played. It's actually a different Ghost Rider who doesn't drive around a motorcycle. He drives around a hot rod. And so it's going to be really cool. And I think, you know, anybody that is a fan of the Ghost Rider franchise, we all know that the Ghost Rider spirit of vengeance is not just in one person, Johnny Blaze. It's in multiple. And so we're going to see another version of the vengeance spirit coming on Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I'm extremely freaking stoked for that.
That's awesome.
Also, too, now, if you're a fan of the Injustice video game fighting franchise, the trailer, a brand new trailer was shown at San Diego Comic-Con that reveals Wonder Woman, and get this, legendary DC character, the Blue Beetle. Oh, my God, dude. The Blue
epic.
Beetle. Oh, geez, man. They're throwing it back hardcore. And I think that's a character that is just so underrated. The Blue Beetle, and I'm glad that they're bringing him back. Yeah.
He's an awesome character. From trailer to trailer, we have The Walking Dead Season 7 trailer was released at San Diego Comic-Con. The new season begins October 23rd. That's exciting.
Now, did you see the trailer for Walking Dead Premium?
I didn't catch the trailer myself, but I heard a lot of good things about it, so that's something that I definitely need to go catch up on, because I'm really excited.
Seriously, it's hard to like say, okay, I've seen everything from San Diego Comic-Con, because truly, you can't. There's just so much stuff that they've released.
So much.
But if you look at Negan's bat there, look at the blood and the flesh and just the goriness dripping off the bat, dude. That is just downright nasty. So who's going to get it? Who's going to see Lucille face-to-face? We don't know yet, but stay tuned October 23rd. Also, we do want to say this for all you Star Wars fans out there. Check this out. Star Wars Episode 8 has officially wrapped. It is a wrap. And they have officially entered post-production. And Star Wars will be coming into theaters next December 2017. And it's going to be awesome. So Episode 8, and then on Star Wars line, Rogue One is actually going to be in theaters this December, which is going to be a Star Wars story as well. So a lot of Star Wars love. Yeah.
Oh, exciting. We have something else that's very exciting. In the television world, Justice Society of America has been confirmed for Legends of Tomorrow. It was teased at the end of the first season, but we have confirmation that this will be a part of the upcoming season. That's really exciting.
Now, can I get nerdy for a moment, Austin? Can I get nerdy for a second?
Let him get nerdy.
Okay. For you guys out there that don't know, the Justice Society of America was the original society that was formed in the 40s and 50s by the original J. Garrick, Superman, and Batman. And this was the first time we saw all those characters come together. Not the Justice League of America, the Justice Society of America. So what the DC's Legends of Tomorrow is doing is they're actually forming one of the actual precursor groups that's going to lead up to the Justice League of America. Really excited for that. And so Marvel releases the first poster and teaser. Oh, my God. Netflix's Iron Fist. My God. This is going to be one heck of an epic saga. And if you don't know anything about the legacy between Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist, get ready. It's going to get real. And so how would you define Iron Fist? Like, I would say he's more into the majestic, he's more into the spiritual, and he's more into, you know, the shaman quality of a character. Wouldn't you agree to that?
Mm-hmm. It's something that we haven't seen before in the world of Netflix. It's something that we haven't seen before in the world of Marvel. So I think that's really, really exciting. But there's also this little team that he joins eventually with all of those characters you just mentioned. They released the teaser trailer for The Defenders, which is like Netflix's version of the Avengers.
I know. Oh. And did you notice that in the trailer, the voice that was narrating the trailer was Stick from Daredevil?
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
That is so
epic. All you guys come together and you can't even save your own selves. How are you going to save the world? Right, I'm like, what?
It's
so, and you know, just for throw this out, I think it's Mephisto who is going to be the lead villain.
Yeah.
I think that's who that is. If I'm not, somebody maybe in the chat room or somewhere can correct me on that. But anyway, Daredevil. And speaking of Netflix and Marvel, Daredevil season 3 has been confirmed. So just when you thought you've seen the last of Foggy Nelson and Wilson Fisk, think again. So there you go. So that's going to be truly epic, and I'm so glad that we're going to see more of Charlie Cox and Eldon Henson, some of our favorite actors who are in the Daredevil franchise.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's so many amazing series. Speaking of amazing series, potentially amazing series, Amazon announced the pilot for a new series. You're going to recognize this name. The Tick drops August 19th. You guys remember The Tick?
I remember The Tick.
I do remember The Tick.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy that played The Tick is actually he plays Joe on Family Guy. So, yeah.
Peter.
I don't
Come
know,
on, Peter. Because I'm in a wheelchair. You've got to make fun of me.
You want some popsicles? Anyway, so also, DC releases the first trailer. Now, nobody expected this. And before I say this, this was a shocker for me. Justice League. A trailer for Justice League dropped at San Diego Comic-Con. And when I watched it, I saw The Flash. I saw Batman, Cyborg, and Aquaman. I was like,
it's on. It's on.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, I had a little moment there. It was just like, oh, is this really happening? Is this real life? I questioned my manhood, and I looked down, and I'm like, yep, it's there. All right, so where are we at?
Yeah. Oh, I don't even know anymore, dude. I got choked up. I'm sorry.
It's emotional for me,
Marvel
too.
Announces a six-part series, Inhumans versus X-Men. This is very interesting.
Now, I didn't hear about this one, and this one is actually news to me. And so the Inhumans versus the X-Men. Now, is this going to take place cinematically? Is this going to take place in the comic books?
I think it's a comic book run. I believe they announced that it's going to be like an upcoming in the next year or two comic books, but I am not 100% for sure. But seeing the concept art there, that's pretty cool.
Wow, Magneto going head-to-head with Black Bolt. Yeah. Wow, that's pretty cool right there. But also, I want to say this too. The Walking Dead's Greg Nicotero says that there will be a lot of brand-new characters pleasing fans and delighting them in Season 7 as the group, Carl and the group and Rick and Grimes and all those guys are going to be going to the kingdom where they will come face to face with the king. I'm not going to say too much about it. If you're not seeing the 7 trailer, you need to go see Walking Dead Season 7 trailer. It's going to be good.
I gotta see it.
It's good. It's good.
It's good. Now this is some news that I'm personally really excited about. Potentially, the new Doctor Who showrunner Chris Chibnall was involved in writing for a live-action Star Wars TV show. This was announced back in 2010 with up to 50 episodes written, but was put on the back burner due to Disney buying out Lucasfilm. The series has not officially been scrapped and still could be coming to the small screen. This is exciting because I've always wanted to see a Star Wars Netflix show, and we could maybe be going that route. I don't know.
Wow, that's really cool. I think it would be nice how Marvel is... Well, if you think about it, Disney is owns Marvel, and also Disney owns Lucasfilm as well. And so what they've been doing with Marvel is they've been doing the Netflix subscription series, and I think it's going to be really cool if we can get a Star Wars series that will delight fans as well, a live-action Star Wars series. And I don't think that's ever been attempted yet. So. But anyway, we got John Barrowman. He makes quite an impression at the San Diego Comic-Con Nerd Headquarters panel, as well as a variety of other costumes. And if you might want to look at some of these crazy images, and we all know him on the show Oh my God. He's in a Harley Quinn. Wow, that's nippy.
That's amazing.
That is so epic.
Oh really? Oh. He's walking around as Kylo Ren, and wow, is this the same guy? Amazing. John Barrow.
I need that costume.
Yes. Oh seriously, he's a squirrel. I'm surprised he didn't do like a Torchwood type. Anyway.
Oh boy.
Funny. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I have no words.
Yeah, moving on.
I don't know where to go from that one.
Can you move on from that?
Yeah, let's move forward, perhaps.
We have a Gotham Season 3 trailer that was released at San Diego Comic-Con. Myself, I am not caught up. I've missed the last several episodes to Gotham, but the trailer was apparently pretty cool.
Yes, and so basically we're going to be seeing the demise of the heroes. As it was explained in the trailer, that the rise of the villains is going to be more prominent than ever, as Fish Mooney and Oswald Cobblepot will make their triumphant return over Gotham among this owl bunch who wears the masks like an owl, so we don't know what that's all about, the overseers, the overwatchers, or whoever. Yeah. But moving forward, we got X-Men Legion was revealed at San Diego Comic-Con. It's premiere on the Fox network. So it's going to be an X-Men-themed show that will be on Fox, and it's going to be called Legion. So that's going to be interesting. That's different.
That's definitely interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even know Fox was developing shows in the X-Men universe or, for the X-Men universe. So that's
interesting because they're doing DC, they're doing Gotham, but now they're doing Marvel as well.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I know.
I like that, Joe. We have another trailer. Guess what, guys? We have another trailer. The trailer release for Nickelodeon's Legends of the Hidden Temple, which was based on the old show. If you guys remember that old show.
Yes. I loved that show.
So, Legends of the Hidden Temple. I remember coming home from high school. I was probably a freshman or sophomore, and I would flip on Nickelodeon, and around 4:30 in the afternoon, you could watch Double Dare, and followed up by Legends of the Hidden Temple. And it was a really amazing. Now, this one's not going to be so much as a game show, as you have to put together the secret parts of the Golden Monkey or whatever. But it will actually be a live-action drama series that is going to be headlined by Nickelodeon Studios. So that's going to be really interesting.
Wow, that will be interesting.
Yes. And also, there was a brand new trailer this released this past week. I wish we could play most of these trailers, but could you imagine? You know how it is sitting in a movie theater, and you're waiting for the movie to start, and you got to watch 20 minutes of trailers. You're sitting there like, so we can't do that, but we're just going to tell you that they're out there, so you can go search them on YouTube for you. Harry Potter, the Fantastic Beasts trailer, and Where to Find Them was released. Wow. It's a brand new, and it's going to be, this is actually taking place in the wizarding world of the Harry Potter franchise. Yeah. And so this is going to be a brand new saga. And I just want to release two. I just want to say this, that J.K. Rowling, if you've not went to the bookstore lately, J.K. Rowling did write a brand new book that's out on the market right now that follows up in Harry Potter's world. And it's officially book number 8 in the Harry Potter universe. Ooh. So who's to say that?
But you know a movie's coming.
Yeah. Who's to say that we have not seen the last of Harry Potter and the team? But also,
absolutely.
Now, since this is we're talking about comic books and trailers, and I mentioned this earlier in the news, that Gladiator Hulk costume, remember me talking about that Hulk armor?
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at this. This is the armor that was shipped all the way from Australia from the set. And so we see the helmet, the shoulder harness, and there's also like an anvil and a giant mallet. And that is going to be depicting the planet Hulk scenes that's going to be coming. So I don't even know how they're going to introduce Planet Hulk in Thor Ragnarok, but I can tell you one thing, it's going to be freaking Boomsaw. So you definitely, I'm just so freaking excited. It's a good time to be a nerd. Can I get an amen?
It is a good amen, brother. It's the best time to be a nerd right now.
I'll just tell you right now, give me some strychnine.
He's still my beating heart. Okay, I have never seen this personally, but I think it is MST3K, right? Am I saying that right? Or MST3K. A revival is coming to Netflix. So do you guys know anything about
Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, I remember this. I'm excited.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he didn't get the acronym on it. It's okay. Mystery Science Theater 3000. Yes, it is
coming.
Can I just get a heck yeah for Netflix bringing back some of these awesome shows from the past?
Netflix.
I mean, we have a freaking revival going on right now at Netflix, and they are just like knocking it out of the proverbial park. I mean, it is just wow.
Amen.
And but I think, you know, that's going to wrap us up on this week's news, and I'm going to let the news intro. I know, right? So we're going to pause for a minute. We're going to catch our breath as the news music will roll us out. We'll be right back.
Extra, extra, read all about it. This is PopX News coming to you live right here on PopXCast.com.
All right, Lindsay Badger is going to be on board here. She's doing our nerd nugget.
Oh my God, it's a nerd nugget.
What's up, Lindsay?
Go ahead. Do your
hey,
nugget.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, okay. It's Delaney.
Hey, it's me. This week's Nerd Nugget, we're going to do a little bit of a throwback. This, since we're going to be covering the new Star Trek, I thought we would do a little throwback and glimpse back in the history a little bit. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about the actor who played Scotty on the original Star Trek show, James Doohan.
Mm-hmm.
He was okay, so he has a very interesting background story. He was shot 6 times storming Juno Beach on D-Day.
Wait. Scotty James Doohan. Wait, he was a veteran?
He was a veteran, and not only was he a veteran, but he's a Canadian. A lot of people don't know that. He's not Scottish. He is Canadian. And after he led his men through a minefield on Juno Beach and personally taking out 2 German snipers in the process, he eventually took 4 rounds in one of his legs, one in his hand, which ultimately resulted in him losing his middle finger, this one, and then he took one in the chest. And the shot to the chest would have likely been fatal, except for that he had a silver cigarette case that was given to him by his brother, which deflected the bullet.
Wow.
And he would later give up smoking, but at least he could say that being a smoker actually saved his life. And ironically, the shots he took were not fired by the enemy, but rather an overzealous Canadian gunman. And after his unit was secured in their position for the night, Doohan was crossing between command posts when a Canadian gunman spotted him and opened fire.
Well, geez.
So that is like the craziest war story ever, right? He could tell that to his dying day. They could make a movie just about him, his story. It's just crazy.
Wow. And, you know, he passed away. I can't remember when James Doohan passed away. He was one of the first of the original Star Trek cast that passed away. And then I think the guy that played Bones, DeForest Kelly, was right after that as well at some point. Now, I can't really remember, guys. My dates are really bad, but I do know that it's just William Shatner, George Takei, and what's her name that plays anyway, it's coming back to me. It'll be back to me here in a minute. But
so, like I was saying earlier, a lot of people thought that he was Scottish because of the role that he played on Star Trek, but he was actually Canadian. And when he was auditioning for the role of the ship's engineer, he went over various accents with Gene Roddenberry for the character. And after he was finished, Roddenberry asked him, he's like, which one do you like the best? And he said, well, if you want an engineer, you better be a Scotsman, because in my experience, all the world's best engineers have been Scottish. So that's how he went with that accent, and he plays it incredibly well.
Wow. The lady I was trying to remember was Majel Barrett, who played Uhura. And there's only 3 left from the original cast, and James Doohan and Walter Koenig and DeForest Kelly and, of course, Leonard Nimoy have all passed away. Sadly.
Well, that's it for this week's Nerd Nugget this week.
All right. Thank you, Miss Lindsay Badger.
You're welcome.
Oh, my God, it's a Nerd Nugget.
So. Hey. Yes. Are we officially diving into the Star Trek realm here?
Star Trek time.
Yes. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and play our spoiler alert. Now, if you have not seen Star Trek Beyond this point, well, you know what? We kind of told you so. So we'll be right back.
Boy.
Danger, danger. You are about to enter a Pop-X spoiler alert. Beyond this point, there is no return. You have been warned.
Alrighty, and we are going to go ahead and dive right on into this right now. And, you know, I'm going to be talking just a little bit about it, then I'm going to let Austin share some of his thoughts as well. But one of the things I noticed up front about Star Trek Beyond was it had really great flow, and it didn't seem to have moments. There were moments of dialogue, but it seemed to interact well with moments of action that was kind of equally coupled between dialogue and character development and then action. And so you didn't have those lags like you had, you know, even having seen the Ultimate Edition of Batman versus Superman, there's still a lot of dialogue involved in that. And another thing I also noticed too was there were some really awesome CGI moments, and it was excellent story writing. I think that the story, it was directed by Justin Lin, but it was also wrote by Doug Hume and Simon Pegg. And so there's Doug Hume, and we have Simon Pegg. We all know Simon Pegg. He's a brilliant British actor. But the third film of the rebooted franchise is just as glorious, I would say, as its previous two. This is just me personally. I think the retro, it was just one of the things I remember, like, just sitting there in the theater and just the sounds of the Enterprise, you know, the dee-dee, and then the, you know, just the sounds of the doors opening up and just those, you know, those weird sounds from the original series, you know, it just takes me back and gives me some really good memories. And it just reminds me of the old series. And see, I grew up with a father who introduced me to Star Trek at a very early age. And long before the original series even aired in 1966, my dad and I would sit down every Saturday night and watch Star Trek The Next Generation with Patrick Stewart and the glorious crew of the 1987 television film. And it ran all the way through to like 94, 95, and even spawned multiple movies from this cast. And even this cast collided with the cast of the original series in a couple of episodes. So it's really interesting. So this is where my start in Star Trek began. And Star Trek Beyond is actually as loyal to its core base and delightfully entertaining to newcomers as well. Easily one of the better films that I've seen thus far in 2016, with the exception of Civil War Captain America. It pays homage to its amazing 50-year legacy. 50 years Star Trek has been part of science fiction lore. It's amazing. And it also reignites fans for future developments and even the upcoming Star Trek Discovery show, which we haven't even talked about yet. That's going to be launching in January 2017. And so there's going to be a great barrier. There's going to be not a barrier, but a great bridge that's going to be bridging both the movies and the previous television franchises. And it's going to be bringing us to a new age, a new CGI era of Star Trek on television. And that's going to be leaving the cinematic franchise wide open for sequels and more as well. And so some key points for me that I really did love. I love that they did a former appropriate nod to former lead actor Leonard Nimoy. I love that. And Leonard Nimoy is a beloved actor, and he played Spock for so many years. Even right up, he played Spock in the first Star Trek reboot. And so I think right now we all just need to throw up the live long and prosper sign for Leonard Nimoy. Can we do that? All right. Also, this movie was so jam-packed with action, I felt exhausted after leaving the movie theater. I was just like, oh, I came home and I couldn't sleep. I was like, now what do I do with myself? But yet, I was very satisfied. With a runtime of only 120 minutes, this movie felt complete. From beginning to end, it was a complete. And I think it was a complete addition in the J.J. Abrams realm of Star Trek movies as well. The story was compelling, and the nemesis was very believable. We all believed that Kroll, you know, he was a very visual actor and a very visual enemy. And when we found out what happened in the end, that, you know, he was a former captain of the USS Enterprise. I think it was, what is it, the Franklin. Then we was just like, oh my gosh, you know, there we had that old moment. And I think actor Idris Elba, he did a spectacular job bringing to life this amazing villain. And we know him from the Thor series. He's the guardian of the bridge between the worlds in the Thor series as well. But Idris Elba is just an amazing actor. And so, Austin, what are some of your thoughts on this as well?
Joe, I agree with everything that you had to say just now, man. I really, really enjoyed this movie. And my girlfriend who went with me to see it, she had actually never seen any Star Trek, but she had watched the previous two with me over the last couple weeks, and she really enjoyed those two. She came out of this one loving it, I think, even more than the first two. So it really does strike Star Trek fans in the heart, but it also, you know, JJ's universe does a good job of hitting every single person, everybody that goes and watches the movie, they can find something different out of it. So that's what I like about the new Star Trek series in this new timeline. But my father, just like your dad, he is a huge, huge Star Trek fan. And I never really got attached to the characters like he did until later on. So once I saw the 2009 film, which is one of my favorite sci-fi movies, top 10 ever, I love that film. I found myself sucked into this universe, so I decided to go back and watch the first few cinematic outings. And I enjoyed, you know, most of them. You know, there are a few hit and misses, but for the most part, I like them. I think Wrath of Khan, for its time, was a revolutionary sci-fi film. So I loved it. I also enjoyed Into Darkness, which for some reason, most Star Trek fans don't seem to enjoy, most that I've seen on the internet don't seem to enjoy Into Darkness, I guess because of, you know, how similar it was to Wrath of Khan. But I found it very fresh, and I liked the interpretation. I liked how they retold certain story points from Wrath of Khan. They did it in a fresh new way. But what I think this movie, what I think Beyond does better than those other two films in this new timeline is mix what fans love from the old Star Trek with the fresh new flavor that JJ invented. I think Lynn did a great job directing. I think this one felt more like Star Trek, whereas JJ's movies felt similar to Star Wars. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing because I love them, obviously. But it was a very refreshing film. And for a summer that's been not even somewhat, that's been really disappointing when it comes to movies, Beyond is easily in my top five favorite movies of the year. I'll have to sit and think about that one, but probably top three, four. And I think a sequel to this movie is well deserved. And for some reason, these films have yet to crack $100 million opening weekend. Why? I think America needs to go out and see these movies because these are great, well-made films with a great director, two great directors, and a wonderful cast. Some of my key points is I think Chris Pine is slowly becoming the definition of the captain of the Enterprise. He is slowly coming into his own because you start out, you see him as a younger guy, you know, and he's messing around. He's doing these rebellious things. This movie, to me, it seemed like he was, for the most part, no nonsense. This guy was straightforward and he was the captain. And I think in the next movie, we're going to see that progress even more because, as we all know, Chris Hemsworth has been cast in the next movie, and he played Captain Kirk's father in the first 5 minutes of the first Star Trek. So I think that is going to give him even more, you know, character development and get him to be an even better captain than he already is. I think Bones and Spock had some great chemistry in this movie. It was odd to see it because we've not seen that from them in the first two films, but I think their chemistry was wonderful. And as Joe said, I think Nimoy, he really pulled on heartstrings, all the stuff that had to do with him, because they did a great job memorializing his character. Doing spoilers, so when you see young Spock hold that photo up at the main end and you see him looking at, you know, the old cast and crew, I looked at my dad and I swear I thought I saw a little tear coming out of his eye because he was like that, because that was his thing, you know, and just seeing that mesh with this new cast his thing, my thing. I think it was a great experience, you know, for us watching a movie together, because I watched this film with my whole family, as everyone should.
That's really interesting that you mentioned also, that, Austin, about, you know, I don't mean to interrupt you, but that was such a really good point that I have to stop you, that how it meshes the generation gap between yesteryear and today. And you're right. Yeah. It did pull on the heartstrings of the beloved people who follow this franchise and this legacy and this lore of Star Trek.
Yes.
And you know, it was a somber moment at the end when Spock was holding that picture, and it was heart-wrenching, because you know it's the end, it's kind of the closing of the end of one book and the opening of a new, so to speak. Yeah. But I'll let you continue on.
Yeah, man, that was the definitive moment, in my opinion, that made this film what it was. I mean, it was, like you said, closing the old Star Trek timeline and basically opening up this brand new one to where they can continue to push out these amazing films. I only have two more points left. And to me, these two points are a big deal, because it's one of those rare films that gets better with every act. I started out, I was like, you know what? I'm kind of digging this, right? As in the other Star Treks, it's kind of consistent all the way through, but this film just continues to escalate. And by the end of the third act, and we'll get into Idris Elba's character in just a second, but by the end of the third act, when everybody comes into their own and you find out, you know, some motivations that weren't very clear in the beginning, and you see those amazing epic action, I feel like this film progressed, and that's one of the reasons that it's one of my favorite films of the year. And my final point is Idris Elba is one of the best actors in the business. He is consistently being cast in almost everything, and he should have been nominated last year for his Netflix movie, which was phenomenal. But he was a great villain. Now, he started out, he was a little, you know, I was like, this is kind of like a cliche villain, you know, what he's doing. But when you find out that he was a part of that old crew, right, and you find out what his motivations truly were, suddenly, boom, he became one of my favorite villains of the year. And he made this movie absolutely what it was. Guys, I love this film. Love this film.
And his portrayal of the villain, I think, was so believable, and it was so heartfelt and so tied to a tangible story that he was abandoned on this planet by himself with the crew of the Franklin, and he's the only one that survived, and somehow through alien symbiote and some kind of technology was able to sustain his life, and that entity or whatever it was took over his mind and his form. But at the end of it, between what I thought was really cool is with, and you know, we gave you a spoiler alert warning, but at the end of it, we see the battle between him and James T. Kirk, and he's actually wearing the gold captain uniform. And so it's captain versus captain at the end of it. And it was just so iconic and climactic. I was like, wow, this is really a good combination. And I did not expect him to be a former captain of Starfleet. I did not see that coming at all. So.
Yeah. Huge reveal. Huge reveal for sure.
And so with that, Austin, we only got like, you know, maybe like 12 minutes left or maybe 10 if we're lucky. And I want to include Lindsay on this as well. And what we're going to do is we're going to actually go through some of our Easter eggs. Now, I put together a small list of Easter eggs for you guys. So you guys can, you know, if there's something, if you ever get a chance to go back and see it, or you get it on Blu-ray, or you go back to the theater and you enjoy it for a second, third, or fourth time, look for these, okay? And Lindsay, why don't you start us off, and then I'll go, and then Austin, and we'll just rotate from there. You are mute, Lindsay. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Sorry. You're welcome.
All right. First Easter egg of the night is the star date is particularly significant. Early in Star Trek Beyond, Kirk mentions the mission takes place on day 966, and that's about halfway through the 5-year mission to explore strange new worlds and seek out new civilizations and boldly go where no man has gone before. And although those are iconic lines, William Shatner's voice at the beginning of each episode of the original series, this is the first time the reboot has actually ventured into those 5 years. And as Canon Rep notes, day 966 is also a reference to the September 1966 when Star Trek debuted on NBC.
Wow. Look at that. Numerology everywhere. And that was a really good one. And also, I want to mention this one, too. And that now, unless you're actually counting, and nobody will know this unless we actually tell you this, I want to tell you this right now. 50 for 50. What does this mean? Unless you're a master at counting cards with an encyclopedia knowledge of all the alien races of Star Trek lore, there's a little chance that you would have ever been able to catch this one. There are definitely a lot of new faces in Star Trek Beyond. And from tiny CGI aliens in the opening scenes to pivotal characters, Jayla, who is played by Sophia Boutella, it's clear that director Justin Lin wanted a more diverse universe. As Movie Pilot reports, Lin revealed the true Easter egg. There are 50 new alien races in this movie, one for each year since Star Trek has debuted. 50 for 50 years. So there, that's cool.
That's awesome.
All right, Austin.
Wow. There's some good nuggets going on here, guys.
I know, right?
One of my personal favorites is things feel a little episodic. So this movie was co-written by Simon Pegg, who plays Scotty in the reboots, but it definitely has traces of his dry self-referential humor that he brought to movies such as Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and Paw, all three really funny movies. But he gave Kirk some of the best lines in the movie. And it's only funny because it's an obvious Easter egg. During his opening Captain's Log entry, which is one of my personal favorite scenes, Kirk describes the monotony of a five-year mission in the outer reaches of space that he and the Enterprise are in a little bit of a rut. He says, after a while, things begin to feel a little episodic. Clearly, it's a nod to the Star Trek TV series and the many spinoffs that preceded the recent cinematic reboot. So I loved that line, and I loved Simon Pegg as a writer.
That was really neat. It kind of episodic, and just a nice nod, because had not it been for the original 1966 episodes, we wouldn't have Star Trek franchise that we have today. So thank goodness it stuck around. And I think that Star Trek and Doctor Who are right up there in 50 years. I think Doctor Who is actually older. It's Doctor Who is the oldest science fiction television show, and right behind that is definitely Star Trek. So just a little nerd nugget for you guys. So this one's the next one here. Listen, all y'all, it's a Beastie Boys. Go ahead, Lindsay Bannon.
In the rebooted Star Trek universe, the Beastie Boys are bigger than the Beatles. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that. Okay, despite being set 200 years in the future, each of the three films have included a song by the Venerable Rap Trio. In Star Trek Beyond, when Spock and Bones learn the secret to disrupting Krall's drones is to play a discordant noise over the radio waves, and Scotty knows just the thing. It's Beastie Boys 1994. Hit Sabotage, which is a fantastic song, by the way. Kirk says it's a good choice, and he would know. When we first met him as a reckless kid in Star Trek back in 2009, it's the song playing on the radio in the car that he just stole. Some believe that the line about the song being classical music is a reference to Futurama, but we are not so sure. You can also hear the remix of the Beastie Boys' Body Movin' in Star Trek Into the Darkness back in 2013.
Yes.
So you got to love the Beastie Boys.
Beastie Boys and James T. Kirk are forever tied together. And so I want to take this next one here. Damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor, not a bartender. So when you're chief of medical officer of the USS Enterprise, you should apparently spend about half of your time in surgery and the other half at the liquor store. In Star Trek Beyond, it's Kirk's birthday. And although the captain is feeling a little bit melancholy about it, Dr. Leonard Bones McCoy, who is played by Carl Urban, treats him to a drink and a pep talk. Now, if this all sounds crazily, vaguely familiar, that's because it's a direct reference to an identical scene in Star Trek II Wrath of Khan 1982. Back then, Bones and DeForest Kelly even unleashed one of his classic zingers. Damn it, Jim. Other people have birthdays. Why are we treating yours like a funeral? So that's my best DeForest Kelly I can do. So,
We'll take it. We'll take it.
We'll take it.
That was really good. So next up, we have the ubiquitous Greg Brunberg. Now, this is very interesting. Even though producer J.J. Abrams deferred directing duties to Justin Lin to this film, there was at least one decidedly Abrams-esque element in Star Trek Beyond. Actor Greg Grunberg, Abrams and Heroes co-star, grew up together. Director created a WB or Warner Brothers teen drama, Felicity. He gave his pal a reoccurring role. Since then, Grunberg has popped up in nearly everything Abrams has done. He spent 5 years on Alias. He played the pilot on Lost. He had roles in Mission Impossible 3, Star Wars Force Awakens. And while he only appears in Star Trek Beyond for a few quick scenes, Grunberg's presence is like an Abrams flick, even without the lens flare.
Yes, Grunberg and Abrams are this is no fan. We all know this, that they actually did grow up together and they're our best friends. So that's kind of cool. All right, to Lindsay Baja.
Is it Sharp?
You? Yes.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and take it anyways.
All right, you do it.
Sharp dressed spaceman. At the end of the movie, Kirk, Spock, and Bones are all cleaned up and taking in the scenery, but it was probably hard for you to see anything beyond the wide collar jackets and gold chains they were all sporting. That wasn't just random. The quasi-futuristic choice by the costume designer Carl Urban revealed that the outfits were directly inspired by what Bones and the boys wore in the later installments of the original film series from the 80s.
Yes, look at DeForest Kelly there, rocking the beard and the gold medallion.
That's some sexy beasts right there.
That's some masculine chest hair right there. Oh my gosh. And so we have the last one here. This is the last one. This is going to finish up our show, and I can't believe we're actually on time. This is crazy pants. How do we do this? The gang's still here. We're awesome. And this one here kind of hits home for all of us. And it's actually impossible to miss this one, but very easy to overlook if you aren't paying attention. When Spock, who's played by Zachary Quinto, is going through the possessions of his future self, it's a long story. He comes across a photograph of the Enterprise crew in their latter years. It's actually a cast photo from 1989's Star Trek V, The Final Frontier. But it does the trick. And after the death of the original Spock, Mr. Leonard Nimoy, during the pre-production for Star Trek Beyond, along with previous losses of James Doohan, Scotty, and DeForest Kelly Bones, like we mentioned before, it offered a bittersweet moment of tribute to the actors who made those roles so iconic and beloved.
Aww, I love that.
Yes, it is really cool. And this actual photo was in the movie, and it's such a nice nod to, like we said, like Austin and I said earlier, closing one book and opening up a new chapter of a new franchise. Mm. And so with that, ladies and gentlemen, that is our official Star Trek Beyond show. And if you're going to go see the movie this weekend, or if you're going to be diving into something fun, reading a good comic book, or you just want to leave us some information or drop us a line, you can do so over on our hotline. We have a PopX hotline. It's 850-417-7679, or that's 850-417-PopX. How does Data have a phone in his chest cavity? I don't know, but 850-417-PopX.
It's the best.
Oh, my goodness, Mike. Kill me. we are also part of an amazing network called Gunna Geek Network. For all things even more geeky, head over to geek.com and check out some amazing podcasts from our home network.
Yes, the Gunna Geek Network is amazing, and GunnaGeek.com is literally crawling with all things nerdiness and geekiness, so be sure to check out and check that out on their official website. Also, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Patreon, Twitter, Pinterest, all the above at PopXCast. You can email us at PopXCast@gmail.com. We love to hear from all of our amazing faithful listeners and downloaders. Also, for future and past shows, be sure to check out all things on our official website, PopXCast.com. And all right, so what we're going to do now is we want to say a big shout out to Lindsay Badger, who's heading up our Nerd Nuggets and hanging out and just talking in the chat room and just kind of doing some technical stuff in the background. She does so much for us. Thank you, Lindsay.
You're very welcome.
And I want to thank Mr. Mike Ippolito, who's handling the slides and the graphics and all the...
I love it.
Are you serious?
That ain't right.
Oh, in true fashion, Mike, you never cease to fail me, my friend. Holy cow, that is so good. All right, guys, I want to let you guys know that I am in Austin. How can people get in touch with you, right quick?
You guys can find me on the internets at the Birkin on Instagram and Twitter. Sorry. And
said that.
Oh, I'm done after this. And on Vine and I've been doing a lot of reaction videos and movie reviews on my YouTube channel as of late. And I'm also trying to promote Pop X Cast on there. So if you guys want to find me on YouTube, check out all my reviews and stuff. Just type in my name, Austin Burke. And love you guys. Thanks so much for watching and internet.
Why is he saying that with a little bit of a lisp? I don't, and a thought of the tongue. It's like grandma's peach teeth. It's like, you know, you just know. Hashtag internuts. Ladies and gentlemen, we have invented a brand new hashtag term here on PopX tonight on episode 25. So we've officially reached our quarter milestone, and Austin Burke drops the internuts.
Hashtag internet.
Okay. Be sure to tune in next week on episode 26 as we'll be having a really cool conversation with comic book creator and universe creator Neoverse. He will be hanging out with us, and we'll be asking him some questions on what inspired him to create all these amazing characters, and just how did you do this, and who's the artist, who's the artwork, how did you develop the stories? So it's going to be really cool getting into the mind of a comic book creator who is literally on the verge of getting his franchise out there. So this is kind of cool. So we're going to be doing that, and for all things nerdy and geeky, head over to popxcast.com, and guys, I think that's a wrap for the show this week. What do you think?
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
All right. We will see you next time on episode 26. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. From everyone here at PopXCast, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, and don't forget to subscribe for more great content. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Lab, and YouTube, all at PopXCast. Get your geek on!